Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is finally Friday, the November 15th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today is going to be an open line Friday. That means you can call in. You can call in and talk about, reason with me about what is trending in the news. Also, what is trending in social media, what to talk about the society at this present time. I did had one or two things prepared, you know, but I had that prepared for Monday. Today, again, I supposed to have some guests, and the guests canceled last minute. They wanted to talk about the farmers market. I want to talk about some frustrations that they are having there. And I think I have one of the union head or the association head coming on sometime next week. So I'll make space for them because something came up whereas the association's head was unable to make it today. And that was supposed to be our conversation today. I want to mention that Blairwood Academy having a Thanksgiving give back, which is good. I was impressed by that. He said, you are invited to join us for a Thanksgiving dinner as we give back to our community in the spirit of Thanksgiving. Please join us for this event, which is Friday, November 15th, on Montague Beach at 11 o'clock. So if you happen to be passing Montague Beach today in that vicinity, man, the whole of Blairwood Academy is going to be out there. They're just they're giving out good food, high-end food, free. Just come and join them as they celebrate Thanksgiving. They want to celebrate Thanksgiving with the community and those who are familiar with the school. Go ahead, Ernie. Stop me.
What's happening on Robinson Road?
Oh, Robinson Road. Somebody decided to block the entire road. When I say block the entire road, they're having a block party. They're having a block party. Someone put barricades, and I assume that have to be the police. Barricades on the main thoroughfare of Robinson Road and blockaded and now having a block party for a business. And I found that strange. Not a side corner, no. Because I can't stand side corners. Well.
So you say you presume it's police because it's barricades in the main road,
yeah,
right?
Barricades in the main road.
I saw a picture, and I sure it said road closed. It's a road close diversion. Mm-hmm. Police don't put a paper sign like that. It's either a proper sign or no sign with the police. My concern is that somebody just did that.
No. This seems to be official.
Because here's what I'm saying. I looked through the paper today. Have no official road closure of a major road for a street festival and you don't have any road no closure notice?
This is the Bahamas. I just know when I was coming here that Robinson Road was closed, completely blocked off. Wherever that plaza is, we'll have all of those restaurants. I think that's Popeyes.
Just east of East Street?
East of East Street. East of East Street. And remember they have that, like a workers' bank or whatever it is on the corner?
Did you say bank and workers? I am not familiar.
It used to be Finco back in the day, and I think it's now one of those credit unions.
Yeah, in the plaza right there.
Credit union. So that's why I thought it's maybe affiliated with them. Because it blocked. It could have been the plaza would have all the restaurants too. But it blocked the entire road. The whole road blocked.
Were there any orange cones in the road?
No, there's no orange cones.
I mean, that's not really an indicator of whether it's a police barricade or not.
It's the barricades on both sides. You cannot traverse on that road.
It would be interesting to see. I know the procedure for getting permission to host a march, right? Mm-hmm. To hold a march. And the permissions to hold a demonstration. You know, but I don't know what the procedure is to have a road closure.
I get a text now say BDB, that's Bahamas Development Bank, BDB had an open house today, so traffic heading east on Robertson Road will be diverted.
Hold on. So you mean the people who are responsible for assisting people entering like the mainstream economy by business development plans and resources and network don't understand the impact of unannounced road closures on the economy generally?
Let me give you the verbiage, though, and see if the verbiage is problematic. It says the BDB had an open house today, so traffic heading east on Robertson Road will be diverted as they will close the roads around the headquarters.
No, only the police could close the roads.
See, that's my point.
And the police still have to coordinate with the Minister for Transport, right? And the Minister of National Security and the AG's office, right? Like, and then you have to interact with the Ministry for Social Services, Broadcasting and Information, because this is the type of information that people need.
Yeah. Yeah.
But imagine that an institute or an agency like that doesn't understand its impact on the wider economy by restricting in such a sporadic and unannounced way road closures and diversions to the movement of people, goods, and services.
It is what it is. But
what it is that people don't know what an economy is, and at the same time, they are responsible for their own personal economy, and their part in the wider economy. They don't know what an economy is. They don't know how it works, and they don't know what their role in it is either.
I don't see the need to block off the whole road for the event.
While you were in the area, did you observe any traffic management teams assisting
just that one
the
sign.
Public?
Just that one sign.
One on 8.5 by 11.
Yeah.
Taped to the barricade?
Taped to the barricade.
So, like, you would have to come right up to the barricade to see it anyway?
Yes. I'm wondering why traffic...
And when you say that's Bahamas Development Bank?
Yeah, but BDB, yeah.
Because BDB could be something else.
That's what it is. I have two stories I want you to be familiar about.
Is it...
Yeah, I'm going to read that one, too. But I'm going to tell you the two stories. One, Wilson, retailers' fuel margin rise is not fair. I'm not sure if you have that. I want you to read that. More money people want. But and then $1.5 billion in treasure. Apparently there's a war in Bahamian waters over who treasure that is. And where did it get this $1.5 billion from? The estimate, right? And anyway, those are the two major stories I wanted to discuss. And then it's open line Friday. So if anything else, after we read that, call in. And we'll be happy to discuss. What's this? Country... In a seller's market, our BRIA president said, what that means? What are they selling? They selling our country?
Homes. Quote, homes not staying on the market for very long.
And yesterday they said that middle class can't afford. So who buying the houses? Someone buying our houses?
Someone, right, country in a seller's market, somebody buying the houses. And they buying them, I assume, very quickly. As soon as they're on the market,
and
they're not staying there for long.
All the officials are saying that Bahamians are having challenges to get homes.
Yeah.
But BRIA is saying that someone buying the houses in droves.
Mm-hmm.
See, something wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Say, who Bahamas is it for anyway?
Which housing inventory are you referencing?
Yeah. But let's go through some of these.
Okay. I think, absolutely.
Let's start off with Sir Frankie. Let's give him the tribute and honor he deserves. He's a knighted man. He's our knight. What is Sir Frankie saying? Read that article. Because, mind you, I think we in some economic troubles right now. I wouldn't say recession. Maybe a depression of some sort. But which one's the last one? Depression or recession? I don't really know. I took economics long.
I think depression comes first and then recession.
I think there's a downturn in the economy.
See, because like my wallet could be in a depression, but the country,
state.
The whole country ain't in a recession.
In a recession state.
Yeah.
But let's read that. Let's see what he's talking about.
Quote, unfair, close quote, decision on fuel margin hike. Sir Franklin suggests increase overdue for wholesalers.
Mm.
Weeks after a margin increase came into effect for petroleum retailers, FOCAL chairman Sir Franklin Wilson said yesterday the decision was, quote, unfair, close quotes, to wholesalers who have not had any adjustments to their margin in many years. Quote, it's not fair to be quite honest. But the wholesalers have to accept the fact that the retailers make the noise and the politicians listen to them. Close quotes. Sir Franklin told reporters outside InvestFest Bahamas at Bahama. Mm. When I referenced this story this morning, sir, I just want to read that again. Quote, it's not fair to be quite honest, but the wholesalers have to accept the fact that the retailers make the noise and the politicians listen to them. Close quotes. Sir Franklin told reporters outside InvestFest Bahamas at Bahama. How many fuel retailers you think were invited to InvestFest Bahamas?
I don't think they were invited.
It's the first time I'm hearing about it.
It wasn't for you.
Mind you, because I only have ideas to invest and not money.
Mind you, I want to say that Sir Franklin is a politico, right? He has access to all of the politicians and all those people who make decisions in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
He has their heirs, right? You can see it through the investments.
Mm-hmm.
So anything he asks for,
mm-hmm.
he has a better chance of getting listened to, considered. And the idea to suggest that the retailers, because they made noise, got access to the politicians more than the retailers where he represent. To me, it's a farce. The idea is he could call the prime minister on his text line, man, we need an increase and that the consideration is done. The retailers had to make noise for years. You know, intervention by this group and that group till the prime minister came once or twice. So I think it's unreasonable. No, that's just me. But go ahead.
Let me continue reading from the article. In September, the government announced that retailers will receive a 25-cent increase on their gas margin and 15-cent increase on their diesel margin. The increases came after years of agitation by retailers who lamented the impact on their profitability. The Davis administration was for a long time adamant that there would be no margin increase, pointing to the impact of raising prices at the pumps when Bahamians were already deeply concerned over the high cost of living. Petroleum dealers noted, however, that government fees and taxes made up a significant portion of fuel prices for consumers. With recent fuel prices, the combination of duty and VAT totaled significantly more than the 88-cent markup that retailers and wholesalers split prior to the recent increase. Wholesalers get 35 cents per gallon of fuel. The recent margin increases for retailers were the first since 2011, when they received a 10-cent increase per gallon of gasoline and a 15-cent increase per gallon of diesel. Sir Franklin said yesterday that wholesalers haven't had an increase in more than two decades. Quote, as it relates to diesel, I think the last time the wholesalers had an increase in their margin was, I think, 2022, close quotes, he said. Quote, that can't be fair, close quotes. We're going to talk about it. Asked whether wholesalers are hurting because of the unchanged margins, Wilson said, quote, all I'm saying to you is just look at that and you ask yourself the question, is that fair, close quotes. So two points I want to make. When the conversation was ripe in the public domain about the fuel retailers margin increase, two stories popped up that were of interest to me, Mr. Newry. The first was a story from Focal indicating that this year marked record profit making, that they had not made this amount of profit in the entirety of their existence. Mm. I'm almost certain that's what the article said.
Yes.
The second article was about the fuel retailers margin increase, you know. But it had this little statement in it that I found very interesting. And I think it was the retailers saying that now that we have this fuel margin increase, the majority, that a significant number of us have tax debt. Like we owe the government money. And now that we have the margin increase, we are able to satisfy some of that debt, right? Like we are really able to push forward in our relationship with the government and satisfy some of that debt. And so it made me think, the retailer's been waiting for another fuel margin increase from 2011, and it took them, 13 years to get it. And a significant number of fuel retailers had significant debt with the government. Mm. I haven't heard Focal or any wholesaler talk about having significant debt due to the unbalanced or improperly calculated margin. Surely, if it was so unfair, it would be unfair because you are in a similar situation
yeah.
as the retailers, right? And you need the increase, like they need the increase. But if in the same year that you're asking for a fuel margin increase for wholesalers, you, a wholesaler, announce and ask us to celebrate with you mm-hmm. record-breaking profit year.
Mm-hmm. So in long and short,
don't take this court to the court of public opinion or the court of equity.
No. Long and short, we must say the audacity. Just leave it at that. The audacity.
I can't even afford that type of audacity.
The audacity. Let's go to the next article about this $1.5 billion in Bahamian water someplace that they're battling over. And I want to find out who is battling over what, and is it any of that ours? And should we be concerned? $1.5 billion is a lot of money.
Okay. Okay. Because, you know, technically all of it is ours, right?
It can't be ours if we never find it.
Where was it found?
Where was it found? I hear that. I know that's a given. We know where it's found. We're talking about the
You know, in Britain...
But if we can't find it...
In Britain, if you are able to purchase a piece of property, mm-hmm. you still don't have rights to anything that is found in the earth beneath... The property.
Really?
Yeah. That belonged to the king. Me and my cousin, that belonged to us. And I'm thinking, how could you come to a country, mm-hmm. find something in the seabed or on land, and then just say it's yours? See, because at the end of the day, it's mine.
They didn't find it. They went looking for it. Finding is coming by circumstance.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Is there a difference between... You finding me in your yard looking for something. And I say, I looking for my cat. And I show my cat in your yard. Right? And me coming to your front door and saying, excuse me, sir. I observe my cat going in your backyard. Can I go in your backyard to go look for it?
Let's change the story.
Okay, no problem.
What if I had a coconut tree? No, a mango tree or a pear mm-hmm. tree. But the big avocados are on the other side of the fence. Whose avocados are they?
The avocados belong to the person on the other side of the fence. Now, technically, because if I get on my fence and I am able to stand on my fence and pick the pear mm-hmm. without touching the ground on your side, then they my pear. But if you could get to them before me, I can't row you because they are a nuisance in somebody else's yard. And they removing the nuisance.
Okay. Let's see if they mention any laws about how much percentage we getting from this $1.5 billion and where we got this $1.5 billion price tag.
I was upset for a second, but I remember 100 is a percentage too, so I ain't upset no more. A furious legal battle has erupted over efforts to recover $1.5 billion in sunken treasure from Bahamian waters amid accusations that all parties involved have violated this nation's laws. David Concannon, an attorney and spokesperson for Allen Exploration Group, revealed that the dispute with Freeport-based Daniel Porter, principal of Maritime Research and Recovery, has caused temporary disruption to the recovery of valuable artifacts and treasure from the sunken Spanish galleon, Nuestra Senora de la Mara Villas.
So
because I can understand that's a Spanish name. You come to me and say, but that ain't no Bahamian boat, right? But the record of Edmund Fitzgerald, y'all telling me that ain't no Bahamian.
It sounds like they already found the wreckage, the wreck, and that they have found the treasure and they're just trying to pull it up.
I think we've talked about this particular story before, right? But the establishment of the museum
in Grand Bahama,
right? And the now ambassador, Dr. Michael Peter Pateman,
yes,
was affiliated with that institution.
At some point in time, yeah.
Right? I think that's the same, right? They discovered, and then the Spanish government was like, yeah, we would like y'all to send us our things. Mm-hmm. I think there was a dispute, and then we were like, no. No. I think that's what we said. I'm not sure. That's what I would have said. And I would have said it just like that. Mm-hmm. No.
Let's continue with the article.
All right, we go to the business section for the full story. Confirming that AEG had previously hired Mr. Porter and his firm to provide vessels and other resources for the salvage and exploration operation near Grand Bahama, he voiced optimism that the Florida court fight... Why are y'all fighting it?
You can imagine the audacity. They're not fighting the Bahamian court to find out who owns the sunken treasure now. They go on to the United States.
Yeah, I suspect that we own it. I'm just saying, I suspect that it's in Bahamian waters.
Watch when the American judges rule and see who won it then, but go ahead. Mm-hmm.
I wonder how you could pick up a whole seabed and take it with you. Mm. I'm coming right now. Florida court will cause... Let's start the whole paragraph over again. This is so long. Confirming that AEG had previously hired Mr. Porter and his firm to provide vessels and other resources for the salvage and exploration operation near Grand Bahama, he voiced optimism that the Florida court fight will cause no lasting damage to the company's plans with the relevant Bahamian government agencies already aware of developments. You say it will cause no lasting damage to the company's plans? Okay. Quote, we do not believe this should impact ongoing exploration efforts except for a brief pause while we replace the vessels unused by Mr. Porter. Mm. Almost all of the crew from the vessels, most of whom are Bahamian, asked to stay with Allen Exploration, and we have kept them on, close quotes, Mr. Concannon said. Now, that's interesting, right? So you say that almost all of the crew from the vessels... most of whom are Bahamian, asked to stay with Allen Exploration, and we have kept them on. Quote, we sincerely hope this does not have any negative effect on the relationship between Allen Exploration and the government of the Bahamas. Frankly, as you can see from our legal filings, Mr. Allen, the company, and the crew were all victims. Quote, we have notified all of the appropriate government authorities, including Customs and the AMMC, and we continue to update them when we discover new information, close quotes. AEG, whose principal Texan investor, Carl Allen, has funded the multi-million revival of Walker's Key in the Abacos. And Mr. Porter and his firm appear to have both hardened their stance in a battle that stems from a 2019 agreement where the latter was hired to help recover gold and silver coins, jewelry, bars, and other artifacts of historical significance from the Bahamian seabed. This is perhaps the most interesting and entertaining paragraph in the entire article, Mr. Newry.
Go ahead.
The one we just read. Mm-hmm. The escalating hostilities have resulted in Mr. Allen and his company accusing Mr. Porter of misusing their assets to import goods and furniture for his... to import goods and furniture for his Freeport home while evading due customs and import duties in the process. Mr. Porter and his firm have countered, though, by asserting that AEG has itself, quote, repeatedly violated Bahamian law, close quotes, by operating outside the areas where it is permitted to explore. Documents filed with the South Florida Federal Court, which have been obtained and inspected by Tribune Business, reveal the full details of the fight over Bahamian patrimony and heritage between the Texan multimillionaire and someone described in his own lawsuit as, quote, a world-renowned treasure salvor, close quotes, responsible for recovering, quote, millions, close quote, in Spanish. And we go to page 17.
They mentioned so far where this 1.5 price tag come from yet.
No, and I'm afraid that the article expands to over half of the next page.
That's a long article. I'm just saying that people call out numbers, and then it doesn't seem to involve us as a nation. I find that strange.
Here's a paragraph. The Spanish galleon, according to Mr. Porter, is estimated to have sunk with a $5 billion fortune at today's values, with some $1.5 billion in gold and silver thought to remain unrecovered. No, pause. Mm-hmm. Pause. They say it's estimated to have $5 billion in damage, I mean, in value, right? Fortune, with some $1.5 billion left to be recovered. Where the $3.5 billion is.
Interesting.
You worry about the I know where the $1.5 billion is. It's in the Bahamian seabed. Where you can't pick up the seabed and take it with you.
But $3
billion. But $3.5 billion. Anyway, that music is sweet.
Yes.
Play that again, producer.
Anyway, let's go do this quick commercial break and pay our bills. Guiding Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, Aaron Green's with me. We talking about missing treasure now. We'll be right back.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with a loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $30,000 to provide holiday meals to families in need. But we need your help. From November 4th to December 18th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in Nassau, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
I'm going to say Lampkin. Besides carrying all the roofing material needed to cover East End, Enterprises also has all the equipment needed to put it together and to protect your workers. At Enterprises, we got hand tools, power and manual, including hacksaws, hammers, mauls, wrecking bars, well, hopefully they won't need them yet, drill bits, tapes, plumb bobs, levels, and more. We got cement, concrete bonding fiber, lime, sand, and P-Rock. We got dust masks, safety glasses, gloves, hard hats, and high visibility vests. Lampkin, what we got here at Enterprises is a one-stop shop for builders.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. As you know, you're scanning through the newspapers and you're seeing all kind of stories that Bahamians should be reading.
Yeah.
I encourage you to go and buy the Nassau Guardian because the Guardian is hot. One or two of these topics should be highlighted, should be talking about, be spoken about on a broader stage. Before we start, right? Oh, I see they have the whole...
Man, listen, so yesterday's Blast from the Past, right, featured both... front pages.
Yeah.
Stories about the formation of GBPA, Grand Bahama Port Authority, the whole, like, the formation of Freeport, not GBPA, but the formation of Freeport. And then on the second page, it had an article about apparently the first holdup in the Bahamas, documented in the Bahamas. And in today's Blast from the Past, there's a follow-up, and the article is Police Arrest Three and Hold Up. Three young men will appear before the magistrate's court today to be charged with the armed holdup of a Montrose Avenue grocery store May 14th, and this is from May 21st, 1955. The grocer, Wade Sands, was robbed of over 300 pounds.
That's a lot of money.
Police who carried out an intern throughout the week, termed the Western style holdup, quote, the most daring robbery, close quote, so far this year. The men now in police custody are Audrey Colebrook, age 20, of Market Street South, McDonald Ferguson, I think that's 32 years, of West Street South, and Bertram Lord, 24, of Augusta Street.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just interesting.
Another article to read about the history of Bahamas, but I wanted to conclude about this treasure, right? Mm-hmm. I think more Bahamians need to pay attention to it because the verbiage is being used. They're saying that $5 billion worth of treasure was in the Bahamas at one point in time. Apparently, there's only $1.5 billion left. So about $3.5 billion worth of treasure disappeared.
Let me read the paragraph again.
I want you to read it and notice that the parties are suing for money or treasure that's already being found, right? And I don't remember the government coming to us and saying, well, we found treasure and we receive this amount of the monies. You know, mm-hmm. I don't remember. It might have happened. I just don't remember there being a general announcement saying treasure has been recovered. The government share is this amount. And everyone else got this. And now in this particular lawsuit that is happening, we've realized that money has been found or treasure has been found.
Well, that's what it appears, right?
It appears.
Yeah.
Let's read that paragraph. So Bahamians can pay attention to it and start asking whoever the minister is responsible for this to say, man, what happened to our share?
All right.
Did we get anything?
The Spanish, okay, we're reading again from the article, $1.5 billion battle for sunken treasure. On the business section, it is Bahamas law breach claims over $1.5 billion treasure battle. We're on page 17 of the Tribune, and we begin reading here. The Spanish galleon, according to Mr. Porter, is estimated to have sunk with a $5 billion fortune at today's values, with some $1.5 billion in gold and silver thought to remain unrecovered. Now, you see, you thought to remain, how you think through calculations, right? If you tell, if the individual porter, right, because that's the individual who's making this estimation, estimates that it sunk with $5 billion mm-hmm. worth of value, mm-hmm. right? That's cool. We don't know how much value is still there. We don't know if other treasure hunters came. But when you say, with some $1.5 billion in gold and silver thought to remain unrecovered, why you think that?
But
if it started with five, why you think only $1.5 billion remains?
That means it has to be recovered.
I mean, no, that's what we infer from the statement.
Said.
Which would be, would reasonably infer when reading a statement like that. Mm-hmm. I'll continue. He, though, Mr. Porter, is alleging that Mr. Allen and AEG have reneged on their deal and are now refusing to pay MRR's rightful share.
See, this is part of what'd be interesting.
Of $10 million in, quote, undivided treasure, close quotes.
So there's treasure.
That has been recovered.
So treasure has been recovered.
Yeah.
And he wants his $10 million worth of the treasure.
No, he wants his rightful share.
And how much did he say rightful share?
He didn't say what it was.
No, read it. The $10 million.
No, listen.
Read it again.
He, though, is alleging that Mr. Allen and AEG have reneged on their deal and are now refusing to pay MMR's rightful share of $10 million. In, quote, undivided treasure, close quotes, that has been recovered.
So $10 million. I keep on hearing
is what they want shares. It's what he expects to receive a share of.
Oh, okay. But right. I didn't know we recovered any million. That's my point.
I got you.
Yes.
No, absolutely.
There's my million off that $10 million. When I say the Bahamian people.
Let me read the next paragraph. Asserting that he and MMR are due between $1.5 million and $2 million. From these recoveries, Mr. Porter is also claiming that AEG has seized intellectual property worth $20 million in the form of a map and recovery plan he produced for not only the Nuestra's $1.5 billion, but a second Spanish treasure galleon, the Genovese, which was part of the same Spanish fleet and also sank in Bahamian waters centuries ago. However, Mr. Allen and AEG have asserted in their defense and counterclaim that they would never have agreed their 2019 deal with Mr. Porter if they had known he had signed a similar agreement and was still under contract with a rival underwater explorer, Edward Lee Spence, to also search for the Nustra. They claim that they only found out about Mr. Porter and MRR's contract with Mr. Spence when the latter reached out some 6 days after AEX, quote, completed their first division of artifacts, close quotes, from the Nustra with the Bahamian government on August 10th, 2021. That was when the former Minas administration was still in office. Ultimately, Mr. Allen and AEX, now, Mr. Nuri, at this point in the article, right? I do not see the, what you call that, the AEG, what would you call that term? Would you, is that like an acronym? Where you use the initials of the company to refer to it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Earlier in the article, the company that Mr. Allen is affiliated with was referenced as AEG. Mm-hmm. Once we reach this portion of the article, the reporter refers to a company, AEX, throughout the entire article. So I'm not sure if this is a typo on the paper's behalf or if somewhere in this process the name of the company changed. But I'm going to read exactly what is in the newspaper in front of me. They claim that they only found out about Mr. Porter and MRR's contract with Mr. Spence when the latter reached out some 6 days after AEX, quote, completed their first division of artifacts, close quotes, from the Nustra with the Bahamian government on August 10th, 2021. That was when the former Minas administration was still in office. Ultimately, Mr. Allen and AEX said they reached a deal with Mr. Spence where Mr. Porter, but not MRR, was released from his obligations. That is interesting.
I'm just still surprised they're fighting over treasure in the Bahamian water and waters, and we are being like the last to know what's happening.
And they decided to take their court, their case to a Florida court.
Yes.
See, when we talk about
sovereignty,
forget that. When we talk about creating new industries, creating legislation and policy, right, to govern, to provide oversight, to shape, to provide the scope of what can be done inside that industry, like, you need overthinkers. You need people who all they do is overthink. Because did anybody consider that parties involved in underwater seabed exploration in the jurisdiction of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas would be able to take their case to settle disputes originating from projects in the Bahamas to a foreign court? Like, maybe the legislation should say, if you're going to work here, then all of your matters must be heard in these courts. And if you're going to form agreements or arrangements or contractual relationships with other entities, all of those contractual relationships have to be either formed under a Bahamian legal jurisdiction or in Bahamian courts.
I'm just appreciative that it seems that Bahamians are on the boat, right? So they are, hopefully they're not one of those Bahamians who sell things out or sell the whole nation out to make profit, that they are able to give testimony that this was found, that this was recovered, and that we, the Bahamian people, will be able to get our fair share. Because I'm very much concerned about it, right? Foreign people coming here looking for gold treasure, and there's nobody representing our interests on the boat. So I was interested, and I was happy to hear that at least our one boat had some Bahamians on board.
Yep.
In some degree or fashion.
Here's another quote from the article. Quote, in sum, Porter was being paid to look, but not to find. And he was constantly proposing more ways for him to be paid more money, close quotes, Mr. Allen and AEX alleged, taken directly from the article. I'm going to say Porter sound like a Bahamian. Because I can say, boss, you asked me to look, asked me to find it. I was looking for it. I look hard and long. And don't mind, I found it. You didn't pay me to find it, so I didn't tell you I find it. Anyway, that's just
okay.
What I would say if I were a Bahamian.
I wanted to go back to the article about the unfair, no, not that, the property and
unfair
bias, buyer's market.
Oh, country in a seller's market, Bria president says.
I want to explore that only because we know that there's a housing shortage in the Bahamas. We know that's a fact.
Well, right? No, we don't know that as a fact. No, I can be honest with you.
People say, all of the politicals say it and the specialists say that there's
which,
not
which,
enough.
Which specialists? No, tell me which
the Ministry of Housing.
Again.
Being a specialist?
I'm just asking you, which specialist said that we don't have the inventory?
They don't have the inventory.
That's
why they're building houses.
We have the inventory.
And asking more.
We have the inventory.
Right? And we see that besides the, the central bank asking for more Airbnbs, we see the hotels are trying to build more rooms. The Ministry of Tourism is saying that we're short hotel rooms, right? It's a shortage. We know that a number of Bahamians are moving their apartments to be Airbnbs. We know that a number of people in the system who are saying that they're being forced to abdicate temporary housing, shelter, because of the shortage of houses, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know that Bahamians are complaining that the apartment rentals are expensive. We know that a new report that about the middle class saying it's a challenge for middle class people to afford houses. So I conclude, that is a housing shortage, right, inside the Bahamas. You see in Abaco. Abaco has a housing shortage. But now we see this entity.
Abaco cannot have a housing shortage.
What do you mean they cannot?
They can't have a housing shortage.
Why you say that?
Because all kind of people build a house in Abaco.
They build a house, but that ain't for other people to live. That's for foreigners to live.
So we don't have a housing shortage.
They have a tent?
No, we have houses. Apparently, they're just not for Bahamians. We got beds. They're just not for Bahamian heads.
That still means shortage.
No, that's not what it means.
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean a shortage at all.
Yep.
It suggests that we have an administrative crisis that does not know how to properly identify, organize, and allocate resources.
Let's talk about Bria.
Okay, no problem.
Go ahead.
Country in a seller's market, Bria president says. Homes not staying on the market for very long. Bahamas Real Estate Association President Carla Sweeting told Guardian Business yesterday that despite reports that housing is becoming unaffordable, the real estate market is still a, quote, seller's market. And the spread between vacant and developed land has barely moved less than 1%. Based on the data from the multiple... what does that mean, Mr.? Let me stick a pin there. You understand what that means? Carla Sweeting told Tribune Business that despite reports that housing is becoming unaffordable, the real estate market is still a, quote, seller's market, close quote. And the spread, this is the part here, the spread between vacant and developed land has barely moved less than 1%. I think it's important. I don't understand what that means. Mm. It's important. I think it's important to understand that, though. Based on the data from the multiple listing service, homes are not staying on the market for very long, Sweeting said.
So I'm buying them.
She was responding to the findings of a recently published University of the Bahamas study on how much it costs to be in the middle class in the Bahamas. The study suggests that housing is becoming unaffordable for the middle class on New Providence, according to UB policy fellow Leslie Archer, who authored the report. We go to page B3. Sweeting said, quote, we did a study from the last quarter of 2023 to the first quarter of 2024, and the needle moved less than 1%. So the market has been pretty I think that's the needle between undeveloped land and vacant. The spread between vacant and developed land.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, what does that mean? Are they suggesting that people aren't building?
They're suggesting that despite there being a money crunch, people are still able to afford houses.
I mean, first of all, let's do this again.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are paying for houses up front with cash in hand?
Few, if any.
So who could afford to buy a house? The virtually everyone pause. Virtually everyone has to go to get a mortgage.
Yeah, people with credit.
To buy a home, right? Mm-hmm. So the question isn't can you afford to buy the house? Because nobody could afford to buy the house. They mm-hmm. all have to get a mortgage. Mm-hmm. It's do you qualify? Do you hit the criteria, the terms of the loan that you're gonna get? So I don't like the language, but that's just me. I weird. Quote, we did a study from the last quarter of 2023 to the first quarter of 2024, and the needle moved less than 1%. So the market has been pretty steady. Quote, we're still seeing ourselves in a seller's market, which simply means inventory is low, but demand is very high. This is not just me saying this. This is based on statistics because the MLS has about 75% of all real property transactions that goes through it, and this is where the data, our data comes from, close quotes. She said vacant land is a, quote, hot commodity, close quotes, because there are not a lot of them. Quote, people that do have land are not selling, and we're in a seller's market, so a seller can demand whatever they want, which is what drives prices up. Mm. Okay, Sweeting said. It's the market that drives prices on property, not realtors. I mean, can you have a realtors market without realtors? Mm-hmm. Can you? That's like saying the capitalism is based on market forces. Is market forces the wind? Is it flatulence? Like, what is it? We go back to the article. She pointed to a homeowner on Abaco who she said was stunned to learn how much his home could fetch for. Quote, there just isn't a lot of property left on Treasure Cove to choose from. So he pretty much got what he asked for, close quotes. She said, that thing wasn't up for a week before I got multiple offers. So you're right, there seems to not be a lot of inventory, but at the same time, people are building hotels mm-hmm. and short-term rentals and homes for second property owners and for foreign home owners. That's the end of the article. But you know what we could do, Mr. Newry? Could you reach out to Ms. Sweeting and tell her that we've read the article mm-hmm. and we're certain we don't quite understand what's being said because we don't understand the terms of the industry. Mm-hmm. And would she be willing to come on here and help us understand the terms yeah. and then what is being said in this particular space and give us a better sense of what housing inventory looks like in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? Right, see, because look here, right beneath that article, Mr. Newry, is another headline. Arawak Homes breaks ground on new subdivision named after veteran contractor. See, my thing is this. I don't think that the people who are buying these homes could afford them either. Mm. Not really afford them, right? This is when we talk about what it means to be in the middle class. What are you not paying for, right, when you are paying these high mortgage prices and other, I want to say exorbitant, but that's not the right word. High costs on items. Most people are able to afford these things because they're lapsing in other important areas. Anyway, that's a break, Mr. Newry. We're going
to
go.
It's time to go.
That's the end of the show?
That's the end of the show. You just having fun too.
Because it's Junk and New Music. The party can't be over when Junk and New Music playing. Anyway, Mr. Newry.
This has been Guardian Radio AM. Next is
The Foundation with Howard Grant.
I just called it a Howard Show.
I mean, it is. First of all, it is the Howard Show, the very good. But it's called The Foundation.
The Foundation.
With Howard Grant.
With Howard Grant. We'll be right back. I didn't read you.
you thought we were finishing. Yeah, you thought we were
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.